This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to We Know's Parenting.
Hello.
I'm Peter McNerney.
I'm Beth Newell. We're here.
We're hosts. We're married. We got kids. Brynn is 5 and Maven is 3.
We did it. Once again, our kids, we survived a week.
We all survived the week. And this is our week in review. A lot happened this week. The headline of which is Road Trip to Vermont.
Yeah, big family trip to a family wedding, which was very fun.
It was fun. Not totally stress-free, but overall, I was
very
joyous.
Yeah, I wouldn't say totally stress-free.
No.
I think let's cut to the chase for the listeners. At one point during our vacation, you were yelling at me in the car and I was getting annoyed and I said, pull over, let me out of the car. And you were like, fine. And then you dropped me off on the side of a small highway and like practically screeched away in a movie scene. And then as I knew you would, you immediately turned around and came back to pick me up.
Well, yeah, you're right. I pulled away and immediately saw where we were, which was, oh, this is a highway. And in my mind, I thought we were close and like you could actually walk back.
I just want to say for the listeners, this scene, this picture we're painting for you is not even indicative of the weekend we had, which was very pleasant.
No, it was a big
spike. It was just one moment where you really lost it.
You really made me mad and I escalated it unnecessarily. Yeah. It was a very dramatic spike of fine. And I hit the brakes with the intent of squealing the tires to be really dramatic. It didn't quite work. You got out.
You sped away pretty fast.
Oh, I sped away aggressively.
It was very dramatic. It almost makes me wish that you had a car in all of our fights.
So that I would get away from you?
No, just so that like you could very visibly make your mark. Maybe I don't want you to have a car. I don't know what you're capable of. But
assuming I would be safe with it.
I just feel like you need some sort of accessory or flair that is not harmful so that you can prove your point that you're very angry.
It's that or I storm out of the room and go punch a bookcase and hurt myself.
Yeah, it is like frequently some version of you hurting yourself and then wanting me to come comfort you.
I don't want you to. It's a humiliating moment.
I don't know.
But anyway, I pulled away from you and immediately realized that I left you in the fucking woods and that there was no possible way to walk back. And I immediately
felt terror. Enjoyed about it. I was like, well, if he goes back there without me to his entire extended family, it's only going to lead to questions for him. So what are the chances he really leaves? And second of all, I'll gladly try to find an Uber in Vermont rather than be screamed at in a car.
Yeah, you know what? No, we're never really in danger anymore. We got phones. But I will say all of my rage left when I pictured you so vulnerable.
Dead on the highway.
On the highway, like stranded in a not safe place. I mean, it was a very rural
highway. It didn't really seem unsafe highway. To me. It wasn't. Seemed
there was
secluded.
A lot of space. Like,
when you're a mom and you're given any opportunity to be just alone, it's not bad.
When I immediately just pulled a giant U-turn on the highway and squealed back around and
rescued
came over.
Rescued me from my own peaceful,
and you just got back
quiet.
In the car. And we just didn't talk. But as soon as you got back in, I was like, oh, we're fine.
Well, it was great because once you had made your point and been so dramatic, you were like, let's just not talk. And I was like, yeah, this is what I wanted in the first place. Like, just...
Normally, that's a hard thing for me. Boy. I love you. The rest of it.
The rest of the weekend was very nice.
This was my cousin, Emily, who invited, who's cursed and blessed, like all of us, with 10 million first cousins. And I don't think she expected so many of us to say that we were going to come to the wedding.
You think she was annoyed at us?
No. Oh, I think maybe financially it's like, oh boy, this is a big lift. But I know that she was thrilled to have all of us there. And so it was the first time that, you know, how many cousins were there? At least 10, and almost as many number of spouses and kids. And so there were up to 10 second cousins around, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,
okay.
8, 9.
Can I say, outside of numbers, what a nice wedding it was to go to a fall wedding. Yeah. I've never been to a fall wedding, I don't think. And
it was threatening rain and it almost rained.
It was so close to rain the entire day, and instead they just had this weird, like, spooky, perfect wedding day.
It was perfect weather.
It was great.
Cool. Like a suit was exactly the clothes needed for the weather, which was satisfying.
I mean, I did not pack properly and wear your weird random jacket over my wedding dress.
Yeah, that was embarrassing for you.
It was so embarrassing. Everyone was staring. They're like, this is Vermont. Is that a Patagonia jacket?
Get with it. It's from the Gap.
No, I looked incredible, except for when I was covered by your stupid jacket.
Okay, can we talk about the secondary headline, which is I wore the suit I wore at my wedding.
That was your big moment.
So when we got married, I had just lost like 30 pounds. And so I bought this suit that fit me incredibly. Went on my honeymoon, stopped counting calories, and gained almost all of it back over the next several years.
Can I say once again, whenever you hit one of your lowest low weights, I always gain weight in that moment. It's almost like
I'm giving it to you like while you sleep.
You're giving it to me while you sleep. That's what I was going to say.
Because I'm leaving
whatever
so much
you're
food
doing,
in the house.
Stop. No, it's not like that. I don't think we crave the same comfort foods. But
not
it's just energetically, someone has to take on that weight.
Maybe. You might look better.
Thank you.
So I fit into the suit and I felt obligated to wear it. And I felt great. And not that it doesn't matter, blah, blah, blah. I'm losing weight because it's healthy. We've talked about my blood pressure and I'm doing it because I don't want to be on blood pressure medication again. and I'm having success and I feel good.
You love being skinny.
I do.
You love the control. You love to talk about calorie counting.
I love the game of it. I love the math of it.
You love showing off your stats every morning.
Mm-hmm. It's not something you can, it's awkward to brag about that to people.
Not for you though. Not for you.
Well, I mean, I'll brag to everyone listening to this podcast.
I don't.
But in person, you know, like it's a touchy subject for a lot of people. And so you don't bring it up. But you're my wife.
Yeah.
And I will brag to you every morning.
If your feelings about it weren't overwhelmingly positive, I would be worried. Like, I'd be like, this is an unhealthy fixation. He's obsessing. But
I'm being healthy. I'm not.
At any weight, I've never seen you anything but positive about where you're at. And how you're handling it.
It's very easy for me to justify celebrating myself.
That was part of the crux of our argument this weekend. I'm trying to remember.
It was? I was too skinny?
No, just that I was like, I like pointed out that you made a wrong turn. And you were like, you do this thing immediately where you're like, well, I would say that was 80% successful. Like your immediate spin on it is like, well, in a way though, it's actually good that I fucked up if you think about it.
You know what? I look on the bright side and I think most of the time that's great.
Actually, from where I'm sitting, you're crazy for desiring anything different than anything I've ever done.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to dare touch the actual details of this.
No,
argument.
I'm not going to get into it because I know you're going to twist it.
I actually don't totally remember, but I know okay. If I get into it, I'm gonna suddenly care
yeah.
again.
Okay, well, I don't want to argue about the details with our listeners here.
So our kids,
I just want them to know that
you're
I'm right.
You can let them know that's fine. I don't remember, so I'm happy for
okay.
you.
Okay, so proud. Anyway, we went to this wedding. It was very lovely. So much family that we were excited to see, and so many cousins.
And boy, do they all get along, and it was lovely, and it was emotional, and in a really great way. You see the full circle, all my cousins I grew up with playing and being little. Brendan Maven had a babysitter that they'd never met before who came to our hotel, who was a real slam dunk.
She was great, and I didn't do any work to find her.
No.
Your mom found her for us.
Yeah. Well, my cousin's wife found her. And but my mom helped
this weekend.
I really appreciate it.
I think I've never made such a trip with so little forethought. More and more of our trips as a family are just me scrambling at the last minute and not thinking through.
Not just because that's my natural mode.
Yeah, you love to scramble at the
last
minute.
But I think it's been very good for you to not care so much.
Oh.
And I know that's hard
for you. Okay, so part of why I started to get angry about this trip is that over the 4th of July, we planned a trip, and I think we got into this on the show, where you notoriously told me the morning that we were leaving that we had like exactly 5 hours to get home for like a 4.5 hour drive with two small children, right?
I'll take your word for it.
Something like that. It was very abrupt for me to find out that my children in the car could be making no stops and we needed to rush home across multiple states immediately.
Uh-huh.
So this trip, I kind of forgot the detail that we were leaving on Friday until Thursday night at like 8 p.m. because we hadn't talked about anything that was happening.
Uh-huh.
And we were both having a busy week. So I was like, wait a second, should I be planning for this trip that's happening in like 12 hours? And so I didn't pack, but you had said we're going to leave at noon. So I was like, whatever, we'll figure out in the morning. And then I texted you to be like, hey, we're leaving tomorrow, right? And when are you expecting us to come home from this trip? I hope you're not planning on teaching your classes the same afternoon we have to drive from Vermont to New York. And you were like, oh yeah, I am teaching. I have to be back at 1:00. And I was like, wait, are we about to have the exact same fight that was such a huge blowout because you did? Like, it was frustrating. I was like, I cannot believe that no thought has gone into this.
I'm waiting for you to finish, and I'm going to respond to all this.
Okay, so I resisted the urge to get angry, and I texted you and said, can you please get a sub for that class or something along those lines? Because it was such a stressful idea to me. And you replied, yes, I'll get a sub.
That's not true. A lot of that is true, but two things.
Wait, what is not true about that?
You said, are you planning to teach your class on Sunday? And I said, I don't have to. I can get a sub. And you said, okay.
No, I can find these texts.
Find it. Let's find it. It's very rare that we can just back up this. Are we leaving tomorrow? What time? You're planning on teaching Sunday? I need to know these things, which is a pretty passive-aggressive thing to say. I said the
No, I said I need to know these things after you didn't respond to my text for like an hour. And I have to get up the next morning and drive across multiple states.
Well, first of all, you texted me while I was teaching a class, and I texted you while I was teaching a class.
I just wanted to nudge the text because this is somewhat of a time-sensitive issue.
Right. But listen, originally this whole trip was planned, and I planned the details. And what I proposed to you, because you're going to a wedding next weekend, and I said, you know what? I'd like to go to this wedding for my cousin. I will take the kids, and you can stay home. And the next weekend, you go to that wedding by yourself, and I will watch the kids.
Well, wait a second. So
that was my plan.
First of all, I helped you by coming on this trip. Second of all, I'm finding the part of the text that you didn't include, which is you said the event starts at 7:30 tomorrow, blah, 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 3 hours, 50 minutes. Yes, I do need to teach Sunday. And you said, we need to leave around 9 on Sunday, which again, the night after a wedding, leaving at 9 a.m. with two children, a lot to ask. I replied, that's cutting it really close coming back. You have to teach your class. And then you said, I can get a sub.
Okay, you're right.
So I propose you getting a sub.
You know what? I'll let you be. You're right. But this whole trip I planned around you not coming so that you didn't have to be stressed. And then you said you wanted to come, and I was very happy that you wanted to come because I wanted you to
come. Yeah, I wanted to see your family.
Great.
I like the idea of family trips. I don't like that I'm the one figuring out like logistics, and you're not considering the impact of your planning decisions on me and the rest of our family.
Well, I had thought through this whole thing, and I had a plan, but we hadn't discussed it till this text in the middle of my class, and I was happy to quickly adjust, and it ended up great.
You had a plan for the next day trip that you hadn't mentioned to me for multiple days leading up to.
Yeah. I knew that we didn't have to leave till noon, and we have a whole morning to figure it out, and that's plenty of time.
Okay, but then you woke up and got a text from your mom that was like, we're all here. When are you going to get here? It's so sunny and nice. It's about to rain. And then you kept starting to push back the departure time, and like, I could hear you in the other room on the phone call not helping me get ready for this trip while you kept promising people we'd leave as soon as possible.
No.
Yes.
I was not promising anything. No one expected us there at any time.
You were saying that that's what was going to happen.
I said, we'll be there in 4+ hours. And we were there in 5 hours. So I think I was totally honest.
No, that's not true.
Okay.
Once again, let me explain why I know this, because I was the one trying to figure out the logistics of a trip. Is I was trying to do laundry so that I would have clothes to pack for this trip that I didn't think to pack for the night before because I didn't find out until bedtime. I was trying to do that things, and I knew it takes a certain amount of time to do laundry. Therefore, we weren't going to leave for another hour or two. Therefore, the promises you were making on the phone in the other room while not helping me get ready for the trip are not things that we could fulfill.
All of these details. This trip has been on the calendar forever.
No, you don't. Listeners will understand the truth that I just stated in the last sentence.
We had plenty of time, and I knew this.
I don't like telling people that we're going to do things we can't do.
This is my mom. She doesn't care, and it was fine. You get stressed.
I know
that we're
promising
something.
But if I was on the on a phone in the other room telling our friends that we'd be there in 20 minutes and you were like, wait, I have to get ready. What's like, you would also be annoyed.
Okay. I wouldn't. I would definitely not, because I don't care about these things.
Okay.
Anyway, there's some other things I want to talk about besides this, if that's cool with you.
Yeah.
Tonight, And recently, and on this trip, I feel like, have you noticed this? Do you think that Bryn seems extra manic? Like,
I think kids are excitable.
And he's very excitable. But tonight, I'm exhausted because the previous week was literally more hours of nonstop work and going to Bryn's parent night and running a full week of story part auditions by myself, and then rushing into this vacation and coming back and being underslept and then having five drinks at a wedding, which I never do. And then Bryn just nonstop talking and Maven nonstop talking to me. And I want to engage with both of them. And we were doing alphabet and letters and stuff, and they're interrupting each other. And I just started to lose my mind tonight because Maven, and this is, as you know, people just heard this lovely argument that we just had, but we process the world very differently. And I'm seeing it in Bryn and Maven, where I'm doing letters with Maven and she doesn't want to be pushed. And Bryn is there going, Maven, let me help you. Let me help you. I'm like, Bryn, Maven needs space. And he couldn't. I mean, he's five. And so that's fine. Yeah. But I didn't have the energy or focus to be able to handle it. And it started to make me feel insane in a way that I think I probably make you feel insane.
Yeah, you that tired is the sensory overload that I am experiencing on a regular basis of just everyone pulling at me all the time.
I felt it. And I wanted to snap at them. I did not. I was very calm. But there was a few months, and in a bedtime tonight, they're just fighting over who reads what, and he wants to help her, and she doesn't want to help, but then she wants the attention. I was like, what letter is this? And then she just says, quiet, and I'm trying to be patient, and then Bryn chimes in, and then she starts crying, and then she kicks me in the neck because we lay down in that bed, and their feet are in my face.
I get it, because I was reading the book the other night, and Bryn wants to interrupt, and it's like she wants a turn to say something about what's happening on the page, and then she like has to pause to think. And I get it, because I'm like, she can't hear herself think when there's just nonstop talking at her of what's happening.
And she's also, on top of that, very stubborn.
We all are. Every single one of us in this family.
No, I'm not. Just kidding. I was like too tired to tell a story, and the book had taken too long. So I was laying on the ground, and I tried, at the worst moment, tried to introduce a very complex improv game for kids, which is one word story, where I go, all right, I'm going to tell a story one word at a time. And I'm going to go, and then Bryn, and then Maven, and then Bryn goes, no, daddy, then Bryn, then daddy, then Maven. And then Maven's like, no. Daddy, then Maven, then Bryn. And I go, no, I'm making the rules. Daddy, Bryn, Maven, Daddy, Bryn, Maven. And we go, okay, fine. And I go, once, and then Maven goes, upon a. And it wasn't the right order, but I was so impressed she was the one that understood how this works. And we tried to do one-word story, and Bryn would do like five words at a time. And Maven, she actually understood it better than he did, because he just wanted to tell a story and she was following the rules, and I was very impressed.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this, right? Like how she's better. I think she's learning more about reading from watching Bryn read full sentences than if we just drilled letters into her head like you did with Bryn. She's the words have more meaning and she's picking up in a different way.
Totally. She hears the musicality of it, and Bryn likes the technical pieces of it.
Yeah.
Which is great. They're both great. Anything else special happened this week? Can I read this text I sent to you?
When?
Bryn very randomly said, can I see that picture of mommy on the beach with me in her belly? I was like, what? And so then I found one. He goes, no, not that one. So I went into my iPhoto and I found it. And it's a beautiful picture of you in your bathing suit on the beach with a cloudy dark sky in the background. You're very pregnant.
Wait, he specifically asked for this picture of me?
I mean, I don't think it was this one. But
you weren't like flipping through your phone pictures when this happened?
I found one on Instagram I posted. And he's like, not that one. So I went and I found from the original photos from the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I showed him one. I don't know if it was the exact one he'd seen before. But he saw it. And I go, is it this one? And he goes, ugh, I love that one because mommy looks so cute in that picture.
It's like he can sense on a soul level that his body was inside of mine and he loves that.
And the final thing I want to brag about, Bryn, is he wrote a legitimately good joke. I think he made it up. He might have seen it on TV. But he said...
It's hard to tell with him what he's quoting from TV and making up.
But it fits his interests because he was like... What did the, like, Gila monster, or some specific kind of lizard that's a gliding lizard, say to the sugar glider? And I go, I don't know what. And he goes, you want to play glide and seek?
It sounds maybe like an animated character's quote, but I don't know. I mean, we'll never know.
We'll never know.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything. A moment that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these very moments.
The last couple of years has been the hardest season of our marriage for sure. I'm surprised our marriage survived it. I think we both are. I think we both were barely holding on. Nothing compares to how hard this is.
Their stories are full of candor, awe, and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change.
True behavior change is really identity change. Every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become.
Listen to A Slight Change of Plans on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes... I guess identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now it's time for We Don't Knows. This is where we discuss a puzzling parenting situation.
So I had a weird moment the other day. I think I already kind of told you the story, but Bryn was in the bathtub after a long day at kindergarten, again, still like his first week of school. And I think he's just really tired and he's in the bathtub and he was like, Mommy, did you know some kids... they cut their foreskin off when they're babies.
Oh, boy.
And he was getting really emotional, and he started to get mad at me for not cutting his foreskin off when he was a baby. And then I was trying to comfort him, and I was like, well, when you get bigger, you can always do it then, like if you still want to do this when you're a grown-up. And he was like, no, it's too late. And he was very sad. So the way he presented it to me, he's like, did you know some babies? I think clearly some older kid at school was like lecturing him about his penis in the bathroom or something.
Here's what you don't know about your penis, kid.
I have a guess as to who this might be in the after-school program for know-it-all older kids, but we won't say his name.
But we don't know. There's so many kids.
I don't know for sure. This was bound to happen, but I did feel really emotional when he was like mad at me, even though I know he's just tired and like whatever, like it was going to pass in a minute. I was just like, I'm so sorry I didn't cut your penis. Like,
it's like, it doesn't matter. This is the reason why I think most circumcisions happen. I'm not speaking for everyone. So everyone has their reasons. Everyone's fine. It's fine to do it. Fine not to do it.
I think it's the reason why it pervades on such a large scale.
I've heard that argument so many times that like, well, kid's going to want it to look like their dad or the kids around them. And
whatever. Don't need to get into a pro or cons of circumcision. You can all do what you want to do. We don't care. But
this is the first time that we've had a reason to care. Because what we chose was like...
But we knew this was going to happen. Yeah. Like,
But it doesn't hurt when you think about it theoretically. You feel bad when...
More of a stab in the gut. But that's the whole interesting dichotomy of American culture is you're like, why do I feel guilty for not hurting my kid on their penis?
You don't want anyone to feel bullied. But then I'm also like...
Because we have to do what they say. Whatever they say to do, we all have to do it.
I'm like... Everyone's going to get bullied for something. So this could be a worse thing.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I still feel good about not circumcising him. And I still stand by the fact that he could do it whenever he wants to when he's older.
Well, he's not going to. Once you get older.
I don't think he is.
Well, you know what? If you got circumcised when you're older, you want to tell us about it? I'd be interested in that story.
Yeah. I mean, I do think there's people actually who do it for health reasons. Like there's, certain issues people can have with the foreskin that they just want to get rid of it.
They just want to get rid of it.
I won't go into specifics.
Let's not. I know this. We did all the research. There's studies that show that there's a slight percentage advantage to doing it or
dick
not.
Medical pics out there for you to.
But there's not major differences. It's fine, either way.
It's fine.
It's fine. Get off my back.
Medically speaking, it's fine.
Aesthetically, it's fine.
Anyway,
but yeah, I'd be curious about statistics these days. How many, because when I was growing up, I knew one kid. Well, actually, here's my...
It does kind of make me feel like we're living in like a less cosmopolitan area in a weird way. Because when we lived in Brooklyn, every kid I babysat had a foreskin. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying it's a good or bad choice. I'm just saying like, it does feel sort of suburban that... people are poo-pooing the foreskin.
Well, we don't know. I want to know what the statistics are. I love that you said a foreskin. Is the plural of foreskin foreskin? I think it might be.
The plural?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. These days, good luck trying to see more than one at a time.
Well, did I tell you this? That I didn't know that I had been circumcised.
Oh, yeah.
Until well into middle school when somebody, I remember Adam Lasky, sorry to out you, walked up to me in the middle of the cafeteria in sixth grade. And he very matter-of-factly, like he was taking an official survey, goes, have you been circumcised? And I went, no, because I didn't know that I had. And he goes, oh, okay.
Right. Because our culture brainwashed you into thinking that you were born with no foreskin.
No, it just wasn't a common topic at the dinner table. I'm sure I'd heard about it before, but I just wasn't listening or couldn't. I don't know. I don't remember. That was the first time I had really thought about it. But I thought back to in elementary school, the one kid whose penis I saw with foreskin, I remember thinking, at the time, like, oh, that's, well, that's different. That's weird. I didn't say anything about it. But then I remember hearing about circumcision, and I thought he was circumcised, and I thought I wasn't.
Right.
And honestly, when you're little, it looks like...
You're like, I'm perfect. I followed all the rules. And
circumcised penis looks like the tip's been cut off. When you're...
Okay.
7 years old. I don't know when it was I figured it out. Boy, anyway. I've really shared things in this show I never thought I would.
Anything else we need to explain to our listeners about the foreskin? Hmm.
I will say I don't. If Brent, I don't know how. I don't know what you do. I don't know if there's things that I'm supposed to know about my son's penis that I didn't need to know because I have mine.
I will say I do have. I do ask him to clean it in the bathtub and like get used to getting in there, and he gets angry at me every time.
Well, see, that's, you don't, you need to do too much. You just need to bathe normally, regularly.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to like get all in there.
Sometimes though, I think for someone who bathes as rarely as our child.
Boy, this is a very open sort of ignorance.
No, I mean, this is, I've done Google searches on this. I've done tons of 5-minute research. Once they can pull it back, they are supposed to occasionally do so and keep it clean.
He started to really love just picking at his junk in general. Have you noticed that? I came in and he was watching TV the other day, and he had just pulled all of it out of the side of his underwear with his like legs up by his face. But he was still watching TV, just like pulling out.
I have not witnessed this.
I saw this the other week and I was like, this is very graphic.
He's getting a lot more into the idea of privacy lately.
Tonight, both of them, and maybe having a babysitter up this, but they both went and got their pajamas and their nighttime pull-up. And Maven said, don't look at me. I need my privacy. I'm going in the bathroom. And she went in the bathroom. And then Bryn said, I'm going in the bathroom. I need privacy. And I go, Maven's in there. She wants privacy. And he goes, oh, no, that's fine. Maven, can I come in? And she goes, yes, you can come in. Not daddy. And they both went into the bathroom, shut the door. And normally I have to wrestle them into their pajamas.
Get out of here, you diaper creep.
And so I just lay down in their bed because I was fucking exhausted. And 3 minutes later, they both came out in their full pajamas and pull-ups and got into bed with their books with me. And I was like, this is game-changing.
Yeah.
Also this morning when I pulled up to daycare and just let Bryn put on his backpack, open the car door, close the car door and run to the door by himself, and I didn't get out of the car.
You mean kindergarten, not take care.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, that's great. Big kid. Big kids.
Big kids.
Just every single day, I'm like, they're so heavy and big.
Sack of potatoes. anything else about penises? If you have any foreskin advice for us,
please write in. Oh, call in please. All your tips and tricks.
Please call in about your foreskin or someone else's or foreskin in general.
Any foreskin stories, anecdotes,
If you
preferences.
Are, if you are for foreskin, if you are, I'm going to stop. This has been We Don't Know's.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything. A moment that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these very moments.
The last couple of years has been the hardest season of our marriage for sure. I'm surprised our marriage survived it. I think we both are. I think we both were barely holding on. Nothing compares to how hard this is.
Their stories are full of candor, awe, and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change.
True behavior change is really identity change. Every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become.
Listen to A Slight Change of Plans on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This next segment is called Listeners Want to Knows. This is where we answer some questions and comments from you guys.
We got an email, and here we go. Hello, Beth and Peter. I'm writing you today because I want to hear your guys' perspective on the matter of having a second child. After celebrating our third wedding anniversary, I found out that I was with child. This is going to be our second child, the first one in 2.5 years now. Because of all the complications that I had during the first pregnancy, I'm still traumatized by it, so I don't know how I feel about this pregnancy yet. My husband, however, he made it clear from the time I found out that I got pregnant that he wants to, quote-unquote, get rid of this fetus. He doesn't want another kid because he is not a super wallet, and how we can't afford another one. He's making $120,000 a year, being an engineer, and I'm also working full-time, but just not making as much as his. So he thinks all the financial burden is going to fall on him, and the thought of having to spend money on someone else and not himself scares him. I'm a little over 6 weeks along now, and every other day he keeps asking me to go to a clinic and have a look at it, aka start the abortion process before I turn 24 weeks. I can feel the tremendous pressure from him. I feel wrong about the abortion, but if I decide to keep the baby, I know for sure that I will have to pay for everything on my own and going through the pregnancy without his support, both emotionally and physically. The thought of paying close to $2,000 for an infant daycare terrifies me to death because I'm only making $3,000 a month, and full daycare tuition is going to be on top of paying for half of my first child daycare tuition and half of all the bills like he wants me to. It's going to be way out of my monthly take home. So my question is, do I go through with the termination because of the financial hardship, or should I keep the baby but for sure can't afford to pay for bills later on and going through all sorts of arguments, pressure, and humiliation from my husband when he asks for my half of the pay bill at the end of the month? I know you two can't solve my problem, but I really want to hear what each of your thoughts on this matter as parents who have a second child unplanned. Please, anonymous.
Wow. I mean, obviously, no one can answer, tell her what to do besides herself. But
right.
That's so heavy. I would, first of all, I mean, there's so much to pick apart here. I think, obviously, this is her decision, her body, her choice. It's not like she doesn't factor her husband into it at all or in his thoughts and feelings, but she most directly suffers the repercussions and trauma of her decision here either mm-hmm. way. So I do think, you know, she needs to go with her gut at the end of the day and do some soul searching about, like, what her she wants her future to look like. You know what I mean? But mm-hmm. I don't. Obviously, I think until you're the person in the situation, you don't know what what is going to sway the quality of your life in one direction or another. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I think we all know on sort of a gut level, once we tune out all the expectations of what other people want us to do, we know like what is going to make sense for us in terms of our mental health and future, like as best a guess as anyone could make.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, the big thing like that I'm stuck on is this idea that she is responsible for half of the pay of this child.
Yeah. Well, it's also a little confusing to me. I don't know if she said where she lives, but her husband makes $120,000 a year, which is
and then she makes 40.
Yeah. But just even just living on $120,000 a year, like, that's livable. It
really depends where.
It's not necessarily ideal in somewhere like New York City, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you can eat up that money really fast, but it's also not like you couldn't ever make a life out of it, you know? A lot of people are surviving on a lot less.
I don't want to judge, but the part of me is going, why, at least when we got married... This is a big financial question when you get married that I'm sure people deal with in very different ways. In our situation, it was, oh, we're married. Our money is now our money. It's not your money.
Right.
It's my money.
Well, and I think also because of the like emotional labor I was mentioning earlier, and not to mention like the physical labor of having and caring for children and birthing them from your body, like that's all as the... sort of who's the person I'm trying to think of to quote, but that is a part of the economy, like that that is labor that sustains our society and sustains men to be able to go out and work or women in some cases.
So that's it's really fucking tricky, but I want to be like, I'm not a fan of this guy from this email.
Well, I don't want to like put too many words in her mouth, but yeah. I do think his attempts to sway her do seem a little bit controlling, and I do worry about sort of like the foundation of this marriage emotionally. I know in times of stress, we're all not necessarily our best selves, so I don't want to put too much judgment on him without knowing him in any other context than this question. But it does seem really not a great way to communicate about this burden that you're both about to take on.
I can empathize, and I'm trying to put myself in his shoes to not just be like, the fuck? A bit. But I understand the stress of that, of like not being able to afford kids. Because... that is something right. We freaked out about. You know, we have support that other people don't, you know?
Well,
in case something really went wrong, there were people that were going to make sure we didn't lose our house.
But that's why I think this needs to be talked through between the two of them and not just him trying to push his way on her without hearing her side, because it seems like he's having a really emotional reaction to the financials, which I personally relate to a lot in terms of like, the way I was raised and taught to think about money, and then the way certain stressors present themselves to me in my adult life, like my reaction's not always completely grounded in reality. I understand that. So it's worth talking through. But he needs to talk it through so that she can present her side of, like, what, how will we plan around this financially, et cetera. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's what I can't get over is the... She makes paint a picture that if she has a child, that she has to pay for it. Like, he wouldn't.
So she paints a picture of that?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that part.
In this email, you know, the... I feel wrong about the... I know for sure that I will have to pay for everything on my own. And going through the pregnancy without support emotionally and physically.
Well, maybe
why would you have to pay for it on your own?
Is he threatening to leave? Did we miss something?
I mean, it just sounds like he expects her to pay half of everything when he makes three times as much.
Yeah. I mean, I think in one way or another, I think that's a lot of men's understanding of how their wives are supposed to function. Like, not necessarily as like pay money, but a lot of times they're like sort of like, well, if you want this kid, you're gonna have to take care of it because I'm a man. And I like it, they're not necessarily spelling it out that clearly, but they do sort of like on a subconscious level have this feeling. I'm not saying you, I'm saying like other men
I know.
They like have this feeling of like, well, she had it with her body, it's not my problem, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And this is setting itself up to be that where he's like, well, this is, yeah, I know what my choice is. So if we have it, it's your choice. It's your thing.
Right. He's like, your problem.
Oh, that doesn't feel good. I want to have advice here.
I mean, I don't think you can like fully give advice when you don't know all the specifics. Like I think there's situations where this man is an asshole and this woman has to survey her like actual financial reality and figure out what she can survive as a human being. You know what I mean? Like, uh-huh. People make hard choices in these moments and it's not always the ones we would make.
This is dark and
yeah, no, it's, and I mean,
but the like, I wish, oh boy, if you have this baby and this marriage falls apart and then he has to pay half.
But I don't even know if he will or can. I don't like, I wish I had more faith in our legal system and in our culture's like social safety net for people. But I don't know, like, there's a way where if he is like an emotionally abusive person, if this incident is an indication of something larger, where he could totally fuck over this whole situation for her. And like her financial security and her children's security. Like, I don't know what this person is capable of. She has to figure out how to navigate this.
Right. So we don't have enough information. So I know that we're making big assumptions about things, but there seems to be, who is doing the primary caregiving of this first child, but you're expected to pay for half of it when you make a third of what he makes. That doesn't feel, unless you're splitting all of the labor equally, that feels like there's a fundamental flaw in the agreement.
I guarantee they're not splitting the labor evenly based on the way that this man thinks decisions should be made.
That's something that I think needs to be addressed immediately.
I think... This is a situation where if he's remaining in this position and you're still not sure if where you're moving forward, there needs to be couples therapy because this is not, at least from this one, like what we're hearing of it, it doesn't sound like a situation that's going to self-resolve.
Yeah. It makes me uneasy, the core agreement that has existed before we even address this.
Right. I mean, either couples therapy or this man needs to go to therapy and unpack some of his feelings about this.
Yeah, but boy, this is also something. Again,
I think if the person who wrote the question wants to go to therapy, that's also a great idea.
But something I think we maybe don't have a great perspective on, because I think we are we do have a pretty healthy relationship in general when it comes to money, in the idea that our money is our money.
I don't know if we do.
I mean, we bicker about how we spend money and all that, but I think we've been, compared to some couples, the idea that like my money is mine and your money is yours.
Oh, yeah.
People, a lot of people have much bigger issues with that. And that idea that that lack of trust that you're, you know, if I let you in on this, that you're losing something. We let go of that a long time ago. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I would say we've been financially pretty lucky in the last few years since we've had kids. And
yeah,
if money was tighter, I think it would be a constant source of stress between us.
Yes. I 100% agree. And you know, we definitely have those moments where we get stressed about those things. But people are different. And I feel like this is a dynamic I have a hard time relating to, but I bet a lot of people listening can relate to this sort of financial agreement amongst married couples.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I do think when I was pregnant, both times you started to get very stressed about money. And when I tried to talk you down from that stress, you dismissed me in kind of a similar way where you were like, this is my responsibility right now because you're pregnant and dealing with the baby and I'm the one who has to bring money in. Like, you kind of did try to lord that over me as like, you're the one who gets to have a say about it.
Well, I don't agree with you in terms of that's where my mind was. We weren't making enough money and it wasn't about me or you. There wasn't enough money coming in and I was...
No, but that's the same way that this guy feels. Is he's like, that? This is not enough money. I don't feel safe with this amount of money.
Right. Well, he's saying she's responsible for half and that she's saying if she has another child, she's going to have to pay for it, a.k.a. he's not.
I don't know.
That I don't understand. Because I was stressed about the thing, but I was taking full responsibility. I assumed, you know, we would have to figure this out. Anyway, boy, so yeah, I would love to hear from other people about this topic because, you know, we're certainly not. Giving amazing solutions to this, but mostly.
Well, I'm certain she'll dig down deep and figure this out because she unfortunately has to, but yeah.
But in terms of
one way or another, this situation will reveal itself and this man will reveal his true colors, I think.
Yeah. But we support whatever decision feels right to you in your gut, in your heart.
Yeah. Well, I would say when we were going through this decision, like something I tell people about having a baby and, you know, other people can critique this, but with big decisions, sometimes you feel like when you're stressed out about them, every option feels negative in one way or another. Like there's always going to be pros and cons, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you go in your gut and you're like, but which of these gets me the most excited? Like if I feel excited about something, I'm going to overcome the negatives.
Mm-hmm.
So like for me with having our second, when both of our kids were accidents, it was sort of like at the end of the day, I'm really excited about having this person in our life. And it's like, yeah, it might be financially stressful, but I don't know. It just like,
yeah,
I think you have to sort of take yourself out of the stress of it and all the negatives, because there's going to be so many either way and all the expectations that other people are giving you.
Yeah. And you know, it's going to, if you do this, it's going to be hard. It is always hard. But you both have steady employment, it seems. So there's a solution. There's a way to do it, even if it's really hard. So, yes.
Yeah.
We believe in you. This has been Listener's Water Knows. This has been another episode of We Knows Parenting. If you would like to write in, Send us a would you knows hypothetical or a question. You can email us at weknowspod@gmail.com or call us on our number
347-384-7396.
Yeah, leave a voicemail. Find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter at weknowspod.
And please rate, review, subscribe.
Yeah. And we'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Are coming back to Atlanta right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.